Welcome to Regardless. Regardless isn't just a word. It's a powerful mindset that helps you to overcome limiting beliefs, self-doubt, and stress. All very common hurdles on the journey from college graduation to thriving adulthood. As your host, Skylar Sorkin, my mission is to bring relevant guests to the table to answer some of our most burning questions about relationships, career, and life. Regardless is your go-to hub for tips and tools to keep you going, reminding you that you've got this, babe. If you're committed to navigating life's twists and turns with confidence and conviction, you found your home. Regardless is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I would have conversations for at least 5 hours a week with older people in my network. I started seeing massive growth. Your network is your net worth. The people that rise above are the people that have those relationships. So the growth of podcasting is extremely slow. Even 2 years of doing this, I'm not where I want to be. But if I'm able to touch 320-somethings at a very deep level, I will continue to do it. All you need to know after the first date is, did I have fun and would I see this person again? Same applies for the podcast. Same applies for career. Am I having fun? Am I learning? Am I out of my comfort zone? Would I do this again tomorrow? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. And if it's going to be no, then you release the podcast and you try something else.
Skylar Sorkin is the dynamic 26-year-old force behind Regardless, a podcast that serves as the ultimate life manual for navigating the tumultuous terrain of one's 20s. Recognizing the gap left by traditional education, Skylar founded Regardless 2 years ago to provide fellow 20-somethings with a potent blend of competence, community, and confidence as they navigate the uncharted waters of post-college life. For her day job, she is an account executive for Influential, the largest influencer marketing company in the world. Skylar started Regardless about 2 years ago and has worked consistently to cultivate a community wherein the 20-something souls are welcome to learn and grow besides her as she hosts insightful conversations with people from all sorts of backgrounds. Skylar's episodes extend far beyond the conventional, tackling issues such as self-love amidst the noise of social media, societal expectations, friendships, and the pressure of the world. If you're looking to feel restored and nourished while navigating the questions of instability and constant growth that are your 20s, I would absolutely suggest that you check out her podcast, linked in the show notes. In this episode, I get to learn more about the origin story of Regardless and Skylar's sustainable mindset around continuing to grow it, as well as our discussion around the impact and personal growth that emerge from starting a podcast. So I'm going to start with the first question here. At what point in your career life did you decide to start this podcast? And while you answer that or think about that, maybe just a little bit about your background journey, career journey, anything you might find relevant here that ultimately led you to start this podcast?
I love that question. Holy moly, where do I begin? I went to school at UC Santa Barbara, and growing up, I was very lucky to have two amazing parents. One, she's a therapist, and my dad is a life and team coach for Fortune 500, 1000 companies. So growing up, I always had the very emotionally intelligent mother and father who really gave me access to an amazing network starting at a really young age. So in college, whether I was navigating a nasty breakup or crazy friendship issues, literally I tell everyone that I BA'd in Mean Girls in college just because of all the experiences that we immediately go through in college with not having any manual. It's pretty scary. And then really university didn't prepare us for anything in the adult world or real life. And so my senior year, I of course was trying to figure out what in the heck did I want to do for work. I had no idea. I majored in comm. I also minored in clinical psychology. And then I went abroad to study business at King's College, which was awesome. And of course, I knew I was great with people. I was also very creative. I love fashion. I love marketing, but I'm also not great just doing things behind the computer all day. I knew I needed to be in front of people and talking and interacting. So I was able to really touch base with myself and really my future self and my goals and figuring out what that leap was going to be in the first step of my career by talking to people. Literally every week I would have at least 5 informational interviews that I would set up, starting with the branch of my family and reaching out to people that we knew. I would have conversations for at least maybe 5 hours a week with older people in my network. And then that started to expand after I started doing that on LinkedIn, reaching out to people who maybe held a high C-suite executive spot at a brand that I was interested in applying for. At first, I was like, oh my God, I am not going to reach out to the CEO of freaking Sonos on LinkedIn. I'm a 20-something person that he doesn't care about. Why would I do that? And my dad really taught me the power of letting go of that status and seeing people as human beings and really putting yourself out there and getting outside of your comfort zone and scheduling that call, getting that meeting. And instead of thinking, what if it doesn't work out? You think, what if it does work out? So that those conversations that I was having and me constantly getting outside of my comfort zone each week and holding myself accountable to that, I started seeing massive growth. I always knew that I had a voice, that I loved performing. I grew up as a dancer and also as an actor and doing tons of speaking engagements. And I knew that I always wanted to perform in some way, but in an authentic way. And I knew that I had a voice and a message to be spread. I just wasn't sure in what vehicle that would be in. And literally, I think if I was able to record these and share them with my friends, my followers on Instagram, can I just imagine how much we would all grow together? How cool would that be? Because if I'm experiencing this growth, I know my friends will as well. So that's really when the idea of a podcast became relevant and exciting and energizing. And I think it's just one of those things where I hear this a lot on my podcast, people being entrepreneurs, you wake up, you go to sleep, you take a shower, you're on your 9-to-5 meeting, and all you think about is your baby, is the podcast. And so I remember being on a walk one day and the word regardless just came to me in a sense where it became more of a word and more of a mindset. Leaving college with really no manual on how to make sure you are taking the right steps into a career filled with purpose to healing triggers, trauma, eating disorders, friendships. No one taught us that. And I've been very lucky to have parents who have, but most 20-somethings don't. Regardless, for me, ended up becoming this mindset where I was able to tap into being from fixed to really growth. Regardless of the situation, even today, pitching someone in my 9-to-5, let's say I get freaked out, and I say to myself, what if it doesn't work out? What if I fuck this up? But if I'm able to rely on the regardless mindset and shift that from what if it doesn't work out to regardless of how this phone call goes, I am more than my career. My career is not my full identity. This word has really been a prominent aspect of who I am and how I approach all of my engagements and all of my relationships. That is the essence of regardless, and it's the life manual for 20-somethinghood because college never quite covered it. That's a really big whirlwind of why I created it, but it was because there was a lack of access and support and community when I was in college and leaving college in the first couple of years of being in your 20s.
I feel like you just put such a common feeling into words so eloquently. I definitely experienced something very similar through this podcast, have reflected on that time in my life, college, and just wish that I had started sooner this reaching out to people. I didn't really do it until I had the mechanism of the podcast, and I was forced to understand that there really are no rules and you can reach out to people and it's okay if they don't get back to you. And every conversation you learn something new. It's just not so black and white. It just is a constant learning, building on top of the other. And it's also helped so much with confidence, as I'm sure you've maybe experienced, just knowing that you're doing this thing that's helping you grow consistently. But you work in sales now, right? So how did you come to choose that role for your 9-to-5?
That's a great question. Again, my major wasn't business or it wasn't going to a research heavy school. The majors were a little bit iffy for if you were going into sales. For me, I'm great with people and communicating and emotionally intelligent and can understand theory, of course. But when it comes to more of the mathematical side, I knew econ was not going to be my game or my forte. But I realized just asking myself questions when I was looking into what my job would be, I think it's really asking yourself, what is my superpower? And figuring out what differentiates you from other people. And that is how you're going to sell yourself. That is how you're going to stand out in regards to presenting your resume to employers, is really what makes you unique. And so I found with myself is really my relationships and the way that I connect with people. And so the answer to this question was discovered by having all of those informational interviews. And I love what you said, Rose, about you feel like now you have that push to get outside of your comfort zone and reach out to people and start to grow that network, which is so freaking important. And I think regardless of whether or not you have a sales or external role, it's so important to always be your own salesperson, regardless of what your job is, because your network, I'm telling you right now, is your net worth. The people that rise above are the people that have those relationships, and staying curious, being open, connecting with people, and being generous with your network, that will get you above anyone else, I promise you. And for me, I knew that from my parents and from my mentors and from having those 5 informational interviews a week. Those conversations add up, those relationships add up. And I started seeding those relationships really like my senior year of college. And now I am fully experiencing the impact and how important that was, because it's this cycle of honestly karma. These people that I had those relationships with in college, some of them are my clients now, which is very cool. But I honestly, to answer your question wholeheartedly, I didn't know I was making the right decision. I think you have to just freaking go for it without knowing the outcome, but knowing that it feels scary, but also that like your talent aligns with the job objectives and it makes you energized and excited, but also scared. I think that's when it's the right role. And also your first job out of college, you're not getting married to this job. It's your first job. You'll learn so much. You'll learn what you like, what you don't like. And I think the more people you can meet in your job and outside of your job on the weekends, throughout the weekdays, that matters the most.
Such a good point. I've also heard that sales is a very helpful role initially, regardless. I do say that word a lot, honestly. Yeah. But just helpful for putting yourself out there. I've heard you have to do like maybe cold calls, especially when you start out. That is obviously putting yourself outside of your comfort zone. I would imagine you'd also learn about human psychology. What are people's motivations? How can I tailor to them while also maintain my values and not cross a line? Seems really interesting. I think from my perspective, I didn't understand this importance of a network in college. I was in a very different track, being an engineer. And one thing I really liked about being an engineer was that it wasn't necessarily who you knew, but you could show up to an interview, and if you could do the thing and solve the problems, you were just as relevant as the next person. And I really like that. But engineering, it is a whole new game. There's so many roles with these different titles, and it's just so different. And there's a lot more weight in who you know or how you can pitch yourself. And quite frankly, those are skills that are very underdeveloped for me personally. And that's why I really like the podcast.
And not that everyone needs to start a podcast by all means, but you are understanding some of your weaknesses and now you're turning them into strengths. And I think a lot of 20-somethings, they just think, oh, because I'm in this box, then I don't have to work on this other aspect of myself. I love what you said, that it doesn't matter your personality. If you can do the job, you're hired. I think that's so necessary in every human being. But in order for those engineers to rise even more to the top, they're going to be the charismatic ones. And charisma comes from honestly messing up, failing, growing from it, building that confidence muscle, and really showing up and taking up space in a really humble and grounded way, where I think a lot of people go about their lives with being so tied to one element based on ego. So if someone's a data scientist and they're extremely smart, they only identify with being smart. So therefore, they maybe won't focus on growing their communication skills or other things. It's pretty amazing that you're really seeing this from a holistic lens, because that is absolutely everything. And there are other parts of myself that I need to work on, budgeting or maybe being a little bit more logical in some areas, but we're all a work in progress. And I think the more that we can just put ourselves outside of that comfort zone, that's when, again, you change the weaknesses into strength. Props to you, seriously.
Yeah, no, props to you as well. But I agree with what you said about the engineers that will rise up are the ones that are more charismatic. I think that something that you have to learn is assertiveness and communication. And those do matter to be able to be successful as an engineer. It's just not quite obvious when you start out. And I think that I agree. It's a very hard transition. Things can just seem so black and white, and not to be dramatic, not life or death, but it can seem intense to pour yourself into this degree or this skill set. And then what am I without it? It's powerful to confront that, because then you're a little bit more liberated. I also want to ask you like more in detail questions here. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your journey with the podcast from your initial idea to the actual implementation. I think this is just such a fun topic.
Yeah, it started beginning of senior year in college, where pieces started to gradually come together. And I think when you have an idea or you're starting a business, you have to be open and flexible to that vision changing. When I started this podcast, it actually, the syllabus for 20-something hood, I remember that was my first idea. And then I forgot about it for months. And then I came up with the word regardless. I was able to somehow tie those two together. And then that was a constant changing of words, verbiage, all the things. Even this past year, even 2 months ago, I changed it again. But for me, I know myself, Skylar, you're going to get in your own way. You're going to get anxious. You're going to get into what if it doesn't work out? What if it fails? If it's a waste of time, if people don't like it. And so I was trying to eliminate all of that talk, all that negativity as much as possible, and just get to the launch date. So really, it started on Canva. I'm very creative, and I just started creating little marketing things, and I was having fun. If you were creating your own clothesline, of course, the first thing that you would do is start drawing, start putting the pieces together. So I started doing that with Regardless, and I think that got me very excited. And then really, I started talking to people in my network and started to fill my guest list with awesome speakers. My first speaker was Sage Miller, which was so awesome because
I listened to that. Yeah.
That was my first one. But we grow, and it's so cool to see just the verbiage and the questions and how your energy shifts from doing it so many times. But honestly, from idea to implementation, it was again my own sort of sketching. I also love Google Docs because I would write out all of my ideas. And I am a dancer. I grew up dancing my whole life. I created a whole thesis my senior year of high school. It was a 30-minute performance. And it's so funny looking back because it's actually so similar to what I'm doing now with the podcast. It's so crazy. I meant to do this because it shows up in so many other aspects of my life. The thesis was about just the limiting beliefs of college and trying to get into college and how it lacks really the whole picture of someone. I say that to say the choreography skills, producing, directing, coming up with an overall theme, that immensely supported my ability to produce regardless, whether it was coming up with the whole theme to verbiage, to introductions, to some of the questions. I think those skills were practiced and were birthed from choreography, to be honest. And I was able to play with that on Google Docs, Canva. And of course, you give yourself time to explore that. But also, there's something to be said about giving yourself time, but also knowing that there's never going to be the right time to do it.
Wow, it's so interesting to hear someone else's approach to doing something very similar to you. As you're speaking, of course, I'm just thinking about my approach to it and how it was different. And one of the things that I do love is your social media aesthetic and how your personal Instagram and the Regardless Instagram are just always intertwining. And it's very clear your personal brand, the brand of Regardless, which is such a good sign. It is a good compliment.
Means the world, because I cannot explain how many times I'm like, this is not clear. I think as entrepreneurs, we get so in our head about rules with social media, and as content creators, it's okay, if I have Regardless and at Skylar Sorkin, where do I post which reel? Because I have more followers on personal while I'm building Regardless, but I'm also need to give them both the love and the attention. But the fact that as a consumer, as an audience member, as a fan, that you see that deep connection and it's clear and it makes sense and you get it, dude, that is the biggest compliment ever. I fully received that. Thank you. You like made my whole week.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
It is
challenging. And I think about that a lot. I think of the power of content creation and reaching people and exposure. I've discovered so many businesses or even podcasts through social media. So of course, it's honestly a double-edged sword because it weighs on me constantly that I could be doing more with social media and storytelling reels or curating a more aesthetic Instagram. And it always seems to be that part has to come after the content. You need the content to then market the content and make it look good. It can be challenging with time and everything. Speaking of that, what are some challenges that you've faced and how you've overcome them? And what would you do differently today if you were starting out today?
Oh my goodness. I've messed up many times and I've learned many times that I'm going to mess up probably tomorrow and it's going to be okay. Regardless, I love myself and we are a work in progress and things are constantly changing. But looking back at my journey thus far, this is something that's been challenging for myself to wrap my head around is the fact that I do have a 9-to-5. It's very important because that is my steady income and I love it. I'm really able to learn so much every day, which is so important in our 20s. I know a lot of us are dying to just become entrepreneurs and quit our 9-to-5, but there's so much to be said about having that because especially in these 10 years, it's essential that we're learning. And of course, we're learning in our podcast, but it's a different type of learning. And just expanding your network and even looking at the benefit side of things, all of the things that make us healthy, happy, financially safe, free. I think that energy also is interchangeable with side passions, passion projects. I think it fuels that, which is amazing. And I'm very grateful to have a 9-to-5. I think one of the challenges with Regardless is that I feel because I have a 9-to-5, most of my energy has to go to that. And then the rest is to Regardless. And if I won the lottery today, I would quit my 9-to-5 and do Regardless full time. Knowing that I'm only putting 50% into Regardless, I have a really hard time knowing that only 50% of my energy is going. So of course the ROI is going to be cut in half, if not more. So that's really hard to wrap my head around because it is my baby. It's my vision. It's what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I think time management for me has been really challenging, not knowing when to focus on it because I focus on it every day. If I'm able to have a really awesome schedule, I know Sage is amazing at doing this where every Wednesdays I focus on coming up with content or taking videos or pictures. And then Thursdays I focus on copywriting and then Fridays we post. I'm getting a lot better with that. But I think if I was able to go back in time, I would have a very helpful, organized schedule of content creation. So I think the time management part and the scheduling is number one for me, just because I have so much happening in my life, anywhere from my 9-to-5 to being an amazing relationship to just being a 26-year-old. There's a lot of moving pieces and it can get very overwhelming. And sometimes I do get in my own way.
And it's super relatable, that burning feeling of just wishing you could just devote all your time to it. I give less because work is so much of the week and so much of the week's energy. And then you also need those times to do things that fill you up. And if I'm honest, the podcast isn't always doing that because it's work, right? You're pouring energy into it. After an interview like this is when I'm probably most rejuvenated. I can learn a lot from someone who is where I want to go, as in you have been doing this for over a year, possibly 2 years. How long exactly?
2 years. Crazy.
2 years. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's really interesting. And I think we always look at what we don't have. And you appreciating me and feeling inspired to me is so inspiring. And that is what helps me to continue to move forward with it, because as it is so time consuming and stressful. Yes, when I'm on these calls, I'm reminded of why I'm doing this, because after these calls, I feel like I could go run a marathon and literally change the world. But the parts that you don't see from the podcast are stressful. Mm-hmm. The parts that don't see are exhausting sometimes, and that's okay. And I think that we can also get exhausted because so much headspace prep, getting prepped for this, goes into podcasting. And also the growth of podcasting is extremely slow. Even 2 years of doing this, I'm not where I want to be. But if I'm able to touch 320 somethings at a very deep level, I will continue to do it.
That's such a good motivation though. So healthy. Because after 6 months of doing it or some period of time, you look around and maybe it's grown a little bit, but barely. And that can be discouraging, I think. For me, just like a shift in perspective. I actually feel a lot better if I'm not targeting specific growth metrics, I think. I do think there's a place for that, but I also really want to make sure that I'm going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that is taking time as well to sort out. I just want to feel like my foundation is super strong, because I think another thing I struggle with is I didn't start this podcast as I want to do it for the next 5, whatever years. I started it as I know this will help me grow. Mm-hmm. I know this will connect me with people who I want to learn from. And that's okay for now. Obviously, I want to be an entrepreneur, but I never consider the podcast as my product. So I'm in this weird space of grappling with, I want to keep doing this because it's so valuable, but it's hard to then start the entrepreneurial dream part two on top of the current commitments. And so it's been really interesting kind of sitting in that discomfort that is just there, and then also working on the podcast.
Girl, yeah. I feel it day in, day out. And I think what you just said, I did this to get outside of my comfort zone and to meet people. That is your metric, babe. And I think that is what sells. I would never listen to a podcaster if I heard the only thing they were concerned about was their numbers. Why would I want to learn from you? I'm not sure about you, but I have not looked at my weight in years because it's triggering for me and I don't need to know that. If I feel confident in my own skin, if I feel good, there's no health issues or concerns, I don't need to see that number. I know what my health metric is, and it's not going to be a weight, a number on the scale. And that's the same with the podcast for me. And I think for you as well, which is really cool.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And because then you can view it through the lens of, is this still helping me to grow? And if not, what can I do to make it that way? That's in your control. I love that.
It's just baby steps and knowing that your identity is not the podcast, and to detach from the result, which I know is so hard, but that's truly when your power comes through. And I say this same rule for dating. All you need to know after the first date is, did I have fun and would I see this person again? Same applies for the podcast. Same applies for career. Am I having fun? Am I learning? Am I out of my comfort zone? Would I do this again tomorrow? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. And if it's going to be no, then you release the podcast and you try something else.
Yeah.
And we're how old? We're babies, if you think about it. And things are supposed to change. We're evolving every day.
Definitely feel the pressure of the 20s sometimes, though, I'm not going to lie.
20-somethings are brutal.
One of my struggles is putting pressure on myself to do the most. And when you don't know what the most is, and I guess there is no right or wrong or best outcome or whatever, but that pressure can be really painful when you know you're in a time of life that has so much impact on the rest of your life. You hear it all the time with like investing is a great example. Or have you read that book, The Defining Decade?
Oh, yeah. So good.
Oh, gosh. It's good, but it's a lot.
This is really interesting. And that's what we're talking about is exactly why I created Regardless, is because there's no how to. And there's no how to in an approachable, flexible, older sister way. I think people are always going to have things to say. People, when they share advice, it is coming from their own perspective, right? They've never walked in your shoes. So I think if you're able to read books or even podcasts, I think you have to just know your own values and know that if you're showing up authentically every day, even just showing up, you're on the right path. There's so much noise, whether it's on social media or the books we read or the ads we are bombarded with every fucking day. All of that is honestly bullshit. If you are showing up and you're staying true to yourself, there is nothing to fear, regardless, regardless of what happens. Regardless of whether or not we stop our podcast tomorrow or a month or a year or 6 years from now, we're good because we've got ourselves. I think there's so much pressure and I know it's so challenging, but sometimes you just have to put those like ear puffs on or whatever and cut out the noise because it is too much and it can be destructive. It can.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sage has given me this really good advice. The best thing you can do for your future self is what feels most right for your present self right now. So instead of acting in the interest that you think you wish you had done in the future, just listen to what you need right now, and that won't lead you astray. And I really try to sit with that and believe that because it's comforting. Because again, it's about what can I do right now? I don't know what I'm going to feel in the future, but right now I know how I feel.
That's beautiful. Freaking Sage, she's a boss. I love that. And I think it's just about the next step. You don't have to get too ahead of yourself. But I think with every spiritual assignment or obstacle or adversity we face, or a what the fuck situation, if you're able to really tune in to your body and what you're needing, but also do it from a place of, okay, this is a little bit scary, but I know that if I did this, it would feel good. It would feel right for me. I think that's the juicy spot.
I love that too. I love that too. But that's how I feel about moving.
I think you should do it.
I think I should too.
Is San Francisco just not doing it?
It's not that it's not doing it. It's that I feel like I've had multiple chapters here and I've done what I can and I'm ready for a new challenge. And I really miss that about life. I feel like in college, it would look like study abroad or join a new group or take a weird class. And of course, there's so many things you can do within your city. You can explore new neighborhoods, new groups, new hobbies, new friend groups, new relationships, dating. And it really excites me to explore a new city and see the differences in people there. So even though it's scary to think about, I don't know what my full story is, or I don't know where I end up, just trying to go with the flow a bit more and not put that pressure.
Yeah. If it excites you, I think it's a fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Life is so short, and it's not if you leave San Francisco, you can never move back. I think especially at your age and our age, if we are going to move anywhere, it's going to be in our 20s and you aren't tied down to kids or marriage. I think if it's exciting to you and it feels a little scary, I think you should do it. We don't always need the full picture or answers for things. Sometimes you just got to listen to your little heart.
Yeah, agreed. Can you share a failure or a mistake that taught you a valuable
life? Specific to the podcast or just in general?
Specific to the podcast.
That's really hard. Specific to the podcast because I'm happy that I made some mistakes. And they weren't mistakes because they were beautiful. If I would have to answer this for the podcast, it would be I had an event that was amazing and I'm really happy I did it. I would never change that for the world, but maybe instead of focusing all of my energy into creating that, a metric that I could have been putting more of my time and energy into could be growth and content creation. So I think it's understanding what is the most important thing right now, because I get very excited about things and over project or get excited about events. Maybe that shouldn't be my priority right now. So I would say with the podcast, probably that, but I think everything else are all mistakes, but I don't see them as mistakes because you're supposed to be making mistakes to learn, especially when you are an entrepreneur and just starting. So that's a hard question. But I would say this applies probably more to like my 9 to 5, fucking up and not getting a closed deal. Every day is a mistake for me. I'm in sales, so I'm outreaching at least 500 people a week, and probably my response rate is about 5%. Or I'm pitching to a Fortune 500, 1,000 client, pouring myself, my energy, my time into that client for years to get to the final round and to not have a closed deal and for that to affect quota and me possibly having a job still. I think if I've learned anything in sales, it's that rejection is redirection and that I've grown very tough skin. And sometimes mistakes are not always because it's your fault. I think it teaches you so much that things don't go your way because you're able to really find the juiciness in it and then pivot and maybe try something new when approaching a different client or learning about how you can present yourself differently on Zoom or what you can grow on because we're so young and there's always room for growth. But I would say the rejection part, that's been tough.
Yeah.
But now it's becoming very a part of my everyday.
It no longer is shocking you or giving you unpleasant vibes, which I think is pretty powerful.
It is interesting though, because I was talking to one of my mentors about this, and I know that one of the stories that I still hear in my head, oh my gosh, you're so nice. I've always been told I'm very nice. And so when a deal doesn't close or someone doesn't like me, it stabs at my ego of not being nice. And so I think that is why in the past, the rejection was really, really hard for me is because it was no longer aligning with you're so nice or being a people pleaser. So I know that the universe was gifting me with sales, with difficult personalities, whether or not they were on my team or clients or things not going my way or people not wanting to work with me for whatever reason. But now I'm able to not take it personally and to honestly see it as a handshake, rather than a gut-wrenching feeling of me not being nice, me not being good enough, me not people-pleasing. It's taken many years, and I still find that people-pleasing voice and little girl pop up from time to time. And when she does, I just have to tend to her and love her and sit with her. We're all human.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Definitely.
With career, I would say that's a challenge for sure.
I think every failure or mistake inevitably teaches you something. I think a good example for me would be I edit manually and remove all the ums and everything manually for half of my start. And I would do it weekly. And I was so burnt out, obviously, after 6 months of that. And now I use this other editing service called Descript that transcribes it and you can cut words and it's like much quicker. Oh,
wow. I'm literally learning from you right now.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend checking it out. And these things, they have a monthly subscription fee, but in the grand scheme of things, I spend that monthly prescription fee on takeout dinner. I remember someone recommended it from one of my first interviews and I checked it out, but there was a brief barrier to entry and I gave up and months went by and then I was forced to do it again because people kept mentioning it. And I was like, wow, you were intimidated by one little thing and you could have saved hours of work. So that's one of my favorites.
We get like that. We get very scared by something and so we don't want to face it. And so it just sits there until we're ready to face it. Sometimes with content creation, I know I need to create content, but I don't want to look at my profile right now because it's, again, some sort of fear showing up, whether it's fear of failing, fear of not having enough time, whatever it may be. But once you actually face that fear, you realize it's really not that big.
Yeah.
It's interesting how we get in our own way. But okay, I'm learning so much from you already.
I want to ask you a little bit more about your content because your content is so good and I've been meaning to get started creating more brand storytelling content and tell the story of the podcast. So I'm wondering how you stay motivated or inspired with your content, or if it's just fully discipline and how you approach it. Because it seems like you're pretty experienced with it.
I appreciate that. It's interesting. Of course, it takes discipline to keep up with all of the episodes that are going out each month and making sure that it gets launched on the right date and you're getting people excited and staying relevant. I think the creative aspect of this is honestly just being excited about the messaging. For me, knowing the conversation that I had and my response to it, I hope that my content reflects that. And it is really challenging understanding what is going to sit with people, and you don't know unless you post it. Sometimes when I post things that I think will not perform well, they end up performing incredibly, but it's because you are your own critic. So helps having friends. I always do this with Sage where I'll send her content. I'll be like, how does this sit? And I think from having the kind of an accountability group and even sending things to my mom, getting people's feedback have been very important to me understanding what people like. And also, you may not know what people like until you're in person with them, you're grabbing a drink, and they tell you that one episode, that one post you posted, that really sat with me and it still sticks with me and it really has helped me heal from this past heartbreak. I wouldn't have never known that because some people just won't comment or they won't like. But I think it's posting things that excite you. I wish I had my own reality TV show because some things that happen to me in the wild, I'm never on my phone when it happens. And I wish that I could just have someone holding a camera and following me around so I could post it. But that's not reality. So I think it's just whether it's on a Sunday night or getting ready and listening to those moments of creative sparks and bringing that to life on Reels, on Instagram, and also making sure that's also relevant to your guest speaker and their story.
Yeah.
That's a very hard question to answer, but I think it's hopefully getting excited by some aesthetic and finding songs, videos, comments, sections of the podcast that excite you that you can get creative with on Instagram in a very fun, piffy, inspiring way. And that's going to look different for all of us. Clothes or fashion, we all wear different outfits, right? We're not going to be wearing the same outfit or have the same style. And I think the same goes for your content.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many rules. And I think just the less rules, the better. Just fucking post it. Stop thinking about it, post it, especially in podcasts.
Do you use recordings or audio from your episodes with other people over repurposed compilations of clips of your own life? Okay.
That's been really helpful.
Okay. Love that. Especially because all your interviews seem to, in some vein, again, because your theme is 20 something, regardless, in spite of all this stuff, the conversations in those, I'm sure, can easily then be applied to your life and video or content from your life.
I'm doing it because I'm growing. And if you want to grow with me, listen with me.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
But I'm not a host that is this all-knowing being. None of us are. We're all lifelong students. And I'm just here to learn. And this is the life manual for 20-somethinghood and beyond. And I'm learning episode after episode with my audience. And I think that is what sets me apart. And I'm living the regardless mindset. I'm living the life manual every day. And this is my syllabus and you all can create your own, but hopefully each guest speaker or episode will help you create your own life manual. Mm-hmm. It's really access to community, competence, and confidence through the podcast. I'm living it day in, day out, girly.
Yeah, I love that. It's all like one vibe. You can take it all and put it together.
Yeah. And that didn't happen overnight. It's been tons and tons of learning, mapping out, speaking to people, asking questions, rewriting, deleting, archiving, repurposing, meditating, journaling.
That's very comforting to hear. I think this is one of my whys for this podcast, just the behind the scenes. When you look at someone's success or their Instagram or their podcast or their business, it's very easy to be like, oh, I couldn't do that. And I think that these conversations are so important because I do struggle.
Yeah.
And all the rewriting, everything being tied in, how that wasn't just day one is really comforting to hear, especially for me as a fellow podcaster. But I want to ask you one last question, if that is okay.
Give it to me. I love it.
Okay. How do you envision the future of Regardless and your career in general? And how do you continue to pursue that in a daily way? What are some things that, some bite-sized steps that you take to be moving in that direction?
Mm-hmm. That's a lovely question. I've never fully stated this online in any way, but when it's a relationship or you ordered something fire from the menu and you taste it and you're like, fuck yeah, I ordered the right thing. That is the same feeling I get when I think about Regardless. Like, it is a fuck yeah, I ordered the right thing. I can feel like this is what I'm supposed to do in every single cell of my body, regardless of me crying, feeling frustrated, sad, annoyed by not seeing the growth that I wanted to. I still know that it's what I'm here to do. And I can't exactly tell you why I know that, but it's ultimately a mind, body, soul thing. I also am very lucky to have awesome mentors in my life who share the importance of nourishing your 9-to-5, especially when it gives you access to a network of pretty game-changing individuals. And I think that is true. It rings true for any job. I'm only 26. I have still so much to learn. So I'm very excited and still, my wings are still spreading in my 9-to-5. And I think the baby steps that I take every day, number one would be the investment into my network, which is interchangeable with Regardless, with building Regardless and having people on the podcast. Never losing sight of what Regardless is. And I think if you are taking a baby step every single day for that dream, whether it's 5, 10, 30 minutes, you're good. That adds up. And so every day I do something with Regardless, whether it's a story, whether it's a post, whether it's me talking about it, whether it's me maybe meeting someone. For example, I went to a party last night and these two girls, I could tell they were a lot younger. They were in high school and we were with probably people in their 30s. And I just felt such a cute connection with them. I just needed to talk to them and we began talking and they felt comfortable opening up to me about just being nervous about going to college. And I was able to have the older sister talk. And then that was a great opportunity for me to be like, you guys should listen to Regardless. I know it's going to help. And I think if you're able to offer humanity value and impact, especially through a product or like a podcast, that is ROI. So it doesn't have to be a post or a metric or a measurement. It could even be like a share or meeting someone and talking about it. So I think every day, if you're able to do one of those things, I think you're on the right path.
I love that answer. That's approachable. Wow. That was so lovely. Thank you so much for everything. Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for having me. It truly means the world. I'm honored and I'm so proud of you. So proud of you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Regardless. If today's conversation sparked a mindset shift or inspired you, we want to hear from you. For more Regardless, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Join the conversation on Instagram and TikTok at RegardlessThePod for updates and resources. You can also find me personally at Skylar Sorkin on Instagram and TikTok. New guest episodes drop on the first and middle Monday of every month. Plus, mark your calendars for our monthly office hours with my mom, a therapist, and I, where we answer all of your burning questions on the last Monday of every month. Remember, babe, regardless of what you're going through right now, you've got this, and I'm in it with you. Stay electric.